Let us come before the Lord in prayer and seek His help this morning. Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness to us in 2017. As we look back over 12 months of Thy wonderful blessings, we thank Thee as a church for what Thou hast done for us, for bringing us here, for providing this place of worship, and for bringing all of these people to be our brothers and sisters in Christ together. And Lord, we thank Thee for new friends, new fellowship. Most of all, we thank Thee for souls that have been saved and lives that have been changed. And Lord, we pray that as we enter 2018, that You would give us a fresh sense, a renewed sense of the presence and power of Almighty God. We pray that for every life. We pray that for the church corporate. We pray that for the people of God in this nation, that they would know that God is with them, that God is taking care of them every moment of every day. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and yet we spend more of our time worrying about what we don't have rather than what You have given us. And we say, forgive us when we are discontented. Forgive us when we are overly anxious. And Lord, give us renewed hope, renewed confidence in You. Strengthen all of our faith, not through self-glory, but through God confidence as we face 2018. We pray for this nation of Singapore, that You would preserve and protect it from all evil. We know the devil would like to change this society the wrong way. And we ask that You would preserve us, that this nation would be a beacon of light to all the nations around us. We pray, Father, for this church. We thank Thee for it. We ask that You would continue Your hand upon us. Bless all those who cannot be with us. Some on holidays, some sick, some even stuck on public transport. We pray, O Father, that You would undertake for them. We thank Thee for them, that You would change their hearts and their minds and their will, and make it after Thine own will. And may we leave here changed, touched, transformed by the power of God. Lord, bless all the ministries today. We think of the Sunday school, the Bible class. We think, Lord, of the 3 p.m. gospel service. We think, Lord, of the youth meetings, the prayer meeting, and all the other activities of this church. We commit them into Thine loving care. As we look back over 12 months, You have been faithful in all of these things. And as we look now to the future, we look with confidence that You will also be faithful in the days and weeks that lie ahead. Bless us now, we pray. Bless every single one who has come here today. Let them hear the voice of God. Give them a word in season. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and today is New Year's Eve. It's the end of 2017, and the beginning of 2018 for us in Singapore is just a few hours away, just about how many hours from now? About 14 hours away from this service. And we're standing on the brink of a new year. And I want us to look at this subject. What hope do you and I have as we face 2018? And the first thing you need to remember is this. You can't change the past. 2017 has come and it is now almost gone. And all of the weeks and the days and the hours that God gave you in 2017 cannot be revisited. Life is linear. It's going one direction. And you can't go backwards, despite what the science fiction stories tell us. All of us are heading into 2018, and all of us cannot go back to 2017. And of course, me saying that will remind you that you have lost certain things in 2017. You will have regrets over lost opportunities. You will have sadness over failures in your life. You may even have guilt that you carry in your heart over things that you wish you hadn't said, you wish you hadn't done in 2017. And of course, the devil will like to remind you of those things. He'll like to bring those up over and over and over again and paralyze you in your Christian walk with such thoughts. In New York City on the 28th of December, just a few days ago, last Thursday, they have a festival which they've been holding for more than one decade. And it stems from a tradition from Latin America. And the tradition is this. They have what they call a Good Riddance Day. And they get these little dolls, and they fill them with all the things, statements of things that they regret from the year before. And then once they filled the doll with all of these statements of regret, they light a match and burn the doll to say, it's all in the past. It's all left behind. It's all forgotten. And in a way, that's what you and I have to do with 2017. All the bad memories, all the failures, all the things that cause us unhappiness, uneasiness, we can't change them. So now we set them alight and leave them behind. Don't let the devil keep dragging them up to tempt you, to torment you. And don't let those bad memories define you in 2018, control you in 2018, even crush you in 2018. So that's the first thing. You can't change the past. Sure, you can. But what can you change? You can change the present and whatever future God gives you on this earth. That's what you can face. That's what you can change in your life. Now, that may seem obvious, but let me remind you, your past doesn't have to control your present or your future. Don't let it control or paralyze you. You know, we know that as Christians, those of us who were once lost are aware that we're now found. That the sin that condemned us no longer condemns us. Isn't that right? So we know that in a salvation sense, but now we've got to also learn it in a emotional sense, in a spiritual sense today, that what happened in the past, in 2017, should not condemn or destroy or crush us in 2018. And you know, many of God's people down through the centuries have been able to recover from bad beginnings. I could go through the Bible and I could list all kinds of individuals who rose to great spiritual heights but started off with great failures. I could start with Abraham, couldn't I? The greatest man in Judaism, the father of the faithful. And Abraham, we're told, for many, many years, 90 years of age he was when God called him. And Abraham was an idolater before he was converted. And even after he was converted, he made many mistakes. He took a handmaid called Hagar and had a child by her. He went down to Egypt when God didn't tell him to go. He lied and said Sarah was not his wife, or pretended that Sarah was not his wife. He made all kinds of mistakes and failures. But did he let the failures define him? No. He was able to get over them. Moses, we've talked about him before. 40 years of age, the prince of Egypt. And in his pride, and anger. He murdered a man. And for 40 years, God had to send him to the backside of the desert in order to humble him. And only at 80 years of age, when most people were retiring, getting their CPF, Moses was called by God and used in a most wonderful way by God. I could go through others in the Bible. We talk about Rahab, what a past she had, how God changed her, how God enabled her to forget the past, how the ungodly became godly. I could talk about Naomi, the bitter woman, whose mistakes lost the life of her husband and her two sons. But in the end, God gave her a grandson through Ruth, Boaz. What a woman she became. I could think of Simon Peter, couldn't I? All the failures in his life, and how God turned it around and made him the greatest apostle of his day in Acts chapter 2. I could think of John Mark, who failed the apostle Paul in the initial journeys. And yet at the end of Paul's life, he says, bring John Mark with you, because he's now profitable for me in the ministry. So your past doesn't have to define you. The devil will tell you that. The devil will keep bringing that up over and over again, that what you have done in the past will limit you now in the present. No, it doesn't. God can take your past and throw it away and remake and remold you into the woman and the man that he wants you to be. You see, the devil knows something about a Christian. If you're here today and you're a Christian, the devil knows he cannot destroy your faith. He knows that. He would like to, but he can't. But what can he do if you're a Christian? Well, there's one thing he can do. He can make your faith ineffective. Isn't that right? By doubts, by fears, by paralyzing you with guilt about your past. He can do all of those things. He can lead you into those temptations. And I'm here to tell you, leave the past in the past. Leave 2017 in the past and look to 2018 as a new beginning of a new year with new hope. Now, how can we face that? You say, well, I don't want just take the words of this preacher. How does the Bible say you and I can face 2018 with renewed hope? Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4, easy verse to remember, Philippians 4:4. Last chapter of the epistle and the fourth verse of the fourth chapter. He says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you didn't get that the first time, he repeats it. And again I say, what? Rejoice. Now notice when you're to rejoice, always. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Now, it doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances, does it? Because often in our circumstances, there's nothing to rejoice about. It's rejoice in who? The Lord. It doesn't say rejoice in yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and look at your talents and gifts and achievements and how much you have accumulated in the bank. No, it says look to God and begin 2018 by rejoicing in the Lord. Now, here's the question. Why must we rejoice in the Lord? What does it mean even to rejoice in the Lord? It means to be joyful because God is with you. God has done so much for you. Now, let me give you a list of things that you can write down to rejoice in the Lord today. Begin today to do this. Here's the first thing. You can rejoice that God loves you. Isn't that right? There may be nobody else in Singapore who loves you. I hope that's not true, but there may be. People will let you down. People will tell you they love you, but turn around and betray you. But there's one person in this universe And he says this, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Before you're even born, before I even created this world, he says, I loved you. I knew about you. My eye was upon you. My thoughts were directed towards you. And I love you with an everlasting love. That's the first thing, to rejoice in the Lord today. The second thing, rejoice that he has saved you. You know, sometimes we're not amazed by grace anymore. We sing about amazing grace, but we're not amazed by it. We are saved from all our sins, not some of our sins. When you and I became a Christian, our lives were changed forever. Radically changed. Our destinations were radically changed. Our ambitions were changed. Our desires were changed. Our whole man inside was changed from the inside out. And we became sons and daughters of God himself. That's worth rejoicing in, isn't it? This morning. Here's a third thing you can rejoice in. You can rejoice that he will never leave thee. He says, yea, I am with you always, even until the end of the age or the end of the world. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you in the good days, but I'm with you in the bad days. I'm with you when you're in your home, but I'm also with you when you're away from your home. I'm with you when everybody else is not with you. I'm there, he says. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And of course, the fact that he's with us every step of the journey means that we can ask him for help. He's willing and able to listen. Look what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. What does he mean by that? He means, don't be over anxious. That's really what that means. Don't be fretting. Don't be fearful over things in your life. Here's why. But in everything, not some things, everything. Here's how you overcome fear. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Now, I've explained to you before, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? Prayer, in that sense, means worship in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's worship. It's not petitions. Not requests. So when you and I come before God and worship him at the place of prayer, that will change us. That will remind us of how great he is. When you start to think, my God is not just a little person who sits on my shoulder and gives me advice. He's the God who made all things. He's the God who rules over all things. That'll start to change the way you see the future. And Paul says this, with prayer and supplication. What's supplication? That means your personal request, your needs. And each of us in this room have different needs because we're from different families with different emotional problems, different family problems, different personal needs. And Paul says, bring everything to God. Start with worship and then bring all your requests to him. For 2018, step by step, day by day, moment by moment, keep coming, depending on him. And he says, do that all through 2018. Let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the wonderful thing. God's willing to hear your prayer. You know, all of us who have children, we always get irritated, don't we, with their questions. Especially with their requests. We get a lot of those. In fact, from the moment the child's born, what do? They reach out the hand. Tick, tick, tick. And if they don't even get the milk, do they say, it's okay, I'll wait an hour when you're free? No, what do? They say, give it to me now. They let you know. No patience. They want everything now. And sometimes as parents, we get fed up, don't we? We get irritated. Well, the good news with God is he never gets irritated. Never gets fed up. He says, keep coming to me. Keep casting your burdens on me. Keep bringing your needs to me. I won't get irritated. I won't get fed up. But here's another problem we have as parents. Sometimes we want to meet the need, the request, but we don't have the ability, isn't that right? Sometimes we have to say to our children, I'm sorry, I wish I could do this, but I have another appointment, or I can't afford it, or it's not healthy, it's not good for me to do this. Sometimes we have to say no, even though we want to say yes, because we lack the ability. But with God, that's never a problem. He's not just willing, He always has the ability to meet your needs and my needs. He knows what's best for you. That's even greater. And He has promised that in 2018, He will be with you every step of the way, and He is available to you every step of the way. Now, I hope that you find friends in this church. I hope that you find people that you can confide in when you have problems, who will encourage you when you have problems. But let me make it very clear to you. Your earthly friends are limited in what they can do for you. You have a friend who's with you all the time. And He never will fail you. He never will let you down. He never will get irritated with you. He never will say, I don't have the ability to help you. And begin 2018 by telling yourself, I'm going to always talk to Him and ask for His help. But here's another thing that you can rejoice in the Lord in. Not only is He with you, and is He willing to help you, but notice this, He's also in control of all things. You know, we're living in a world where there's so much chaos, isn't there? You just open the newspaper, and you see this leader talking big against the other leader, and this army rising against another army. You even just stand at your house and listen to the neighbors. And what do you discover? There's no peace. There's no happiness. There's strife everywhere. There's trouble everywhere. There's chaos everywhere. And you listen to all these so-called experts and they tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. What do you discover? They're wrong when tomorrow comes. The economists, what do they know? The weather people, frankly, they guess most of the time. And especially those who tell you they know so much, you discover they know very little about the future. All the best they can do is educated guesses. That's it. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can rejoice in the Lord because He knows the future. Why does He know the future? He doesn't know the future 85% accuracy. Or 95% accuracy. He knows the future 100% accurate. Why? Because He controls the future. Our God is in the heavens. He doeth whatsoever He wills, the Bible says. He's in control. But here's another reason that you can rejoice in the Lord as you look to 2018. He has prepared a place in heaven for you. For you. Now maybe you're not happy where you're living right now. Maybe you say, I'd like an upgrade. I'd like a bigger flat. I'd like a bigger bedroom. Maybe you're very unambitious. You say, Lord, if You just give me a little bit bigger of a bedroom, I'll be happier. Some of you want to have a big bungalow. Or land. And you tell yourself, if I can get that, I'll be happier than what I am. I'm here to tell you that if you're a Christian, you're going for an upgrade that's infinitely better than anything you'd ever find in Singapore. You're going to a place called heaven. And you're not just going there for a few months or a few years. You're going to this place called heaven forevermore. Evermore. That's something to rejoice in the Lord in 2018, isn't it? things are about to get so much better for you and I. But here's the last reason why we can rejoice in the Lord. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, he says this, let your moderation, this word moderation means your self-control, your meekness, be known unto all men. He says, control yourself. Don't lose control of yourself. Don't panic. Don't lash out. Don't complain. Why? Here's the next sentence. The Lord is at hand. Christ is coming. In fact, he's coming very soon. And if you're a child of God, things are about to get so much better. Just around the corner. Just wait. You know, a sign of immaturity is what? Impatience. It's impatience. We know that from our children, don't we? You get in the car, or you get in the bus. I get in the bus to come here sometimes, and my children say, how many more stops? Now, it's only a 25-minute journey. It's not like we're on the bus for 10 days. And we smile because we know that's a child, isn't it? By nature, they're impatient. It's a mark of immaturity. And we as Christians can also be childlike in our faith sometimes and become too immature, too impatient. And we recoil, rebel against our circumstances and say, why me? Why now? Why this? Why do I not have what she has or he has? Well, one day you'll have far more than what they have. In fact, it won't be very long because the Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. And it'll all get better at that point. You know, one of the greatest sorrows we have as Christians is to say farewell to our loved ones, isn't it? Probably the greatest sorrow. But the good news is, if they're in the Lord, you'll see them again. You can rejoice in the Lord this morning. Now, having said all that, that doesn't mean that you don't learn from your past mistakes. I've said this repeatedly. The greatest mistake you can make is not to learn from your mistakes. Isn't that right? That's what a fool does. A fool puts a hand in the fire and gets a hand burned and then goes back and puts the hand back in again. Isn't that right? You say, what a foolish person. What a stupid person. It's like the gambler goes to the casino and puts the money in and goes what? Loses even more. We just shake our head and say, what a fool. The drunkard does the same. Takes another beer thinking that's going to make him feel better. Wakes up the next day, what? The same headache. That's a fool. That's a fool. And you and I have to be students of our past. You have to learn from it. But we can never be victims of it. Never let it define you. Never let it control you. And often many Christians become depressed, discouraged. And they shouldn't. Because they have to rejoice in the Lord. He's there. He has done all these things and he's doing all these things for you and for me. You know, we've been singing in our hymn book a lot of hymns written by a lady called Fanny J. Crosby. She was born really at the end of the 19th century. And when she was just 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. Just a little baby. And her mother, trying to save money, bought some ointment from a fake physician, fake doctor. She bought the ointment and she rubbed it into the little baby's eyes, her daughter's eyes. And it blinded her for life. And Fanny J. Crosby lived until she was 92 years of age. Can you imagine? From 6 weeks old, blind, until 92 years of age, she was blind. And many people said to her, are you not discouraged? Are you not bitter? Are you not frustrated that through an act of stupidity, folly, by your own mother, you lost your eyes? Are you not angry with God? Fanny Crosby said this just before she died at 92 years of age. She said, "I am the happiest woman in the world." And she said, "When I was 8 years of age, I made a resolution that I would not be a victim of my circumstances, but that I would rise above them, and that I would use whatever talents and time God gave me for the glory of God." And she says, "I made that decision at 8 years of age, after struggling with this history of losing my eyesight at 6 weeks old." And she says, "I've never looked back." Do you know how many hymns she wrote? More than 5,000 hymns. Some of the greatest hymns that we sing were written by her. She never let her circumstances define her. She never even let the failures of others define her. She rose above it and she says, "I'll take what I have. I'll take what God's given me and I'll rejoice in it. And I'll use it for His glory." Let me make a statement to you. Don't complain about the thorns around the roses, but rather focus and be thankful on the roses in the thorns. Isn't that right? You either see one or the other and focus on one or the other. When you see that little rose, you either say, "That's a beautiful flower," or you look at it and you say, "That's an ugly thorn." And you can't have one without the other in this world. Both are needed. You can't have the mountaintop unless you have the valley, isn't that right? You have to have both. And life is not a bed of roses. The Bible never says it will be. In fact, Jesus Christ said this to his disciples, "In this world you shall have tribulation." You'll have difficulties. You know, one of the greatest lies in Christianity today is this, that if you believe in Jesus Christ, all your problems will disappear. I'm here to tell you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your problems will multiply. Because not only will you face what the unbelievers have, but you'll have the devil coming against you. But what I can promise you this, is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, He will bring you through your problems. He will be with you in your problems. And one day, the Lord is at hand. All the problems will disappear. Can't say that for the ungodly. If they think earth is bad, if they think earth has problems and everybody has problems, their problems are going to be infinitely worse when they leave this world. You know, in a million years from now, everybody in hell will be desperate to get back to earth. But they never can. So if you're a child of God, remind yourself in this world. Now, how do you rejoice in the Lord today in such difficult circumstances? I know there's people here in very difficult circumstances, some worse than others. Begin by thinking of what God has done for you in 2017. Remind yourself of what God is doing right now for you. Remind yourself that what God will do for you in the future. One of the old Puritans who grew up in the land of England was suffering great poverty because of persecution. And one day, all he had to eat was bread and water. And his friend was watching him to see how is he going to react in this terrible situation that he's left with just bread and water. The simplest of meals. Now, the bread wasn't, bread. or Café M&M bread, okay? It wasn't anything nice like that. It was just rough, coarse, the plainest of food. And the old Puritan bowed his head. And he says, Lord, I thank you that I have all of this and heaven to come. Wasn't that the right attitude? Rejoice in the Lord. Remind yourself that Christ is coming back for you. That's how you can rejoice. Have you noticed that nobody in this world feels at home? Have you noticed that? Everybody in this world is uncomfortable here. We're uneasy with life on earth. Well, we should be, because we're not created to be here for all of eternity. You and I are not home yet. We'll only get home when we arrive in heaven. Remind yourself of that truth. And of course, bring everything to God in prayer. Keep reminding yourself that I need to come to Him and ask Him and cry unto Him. Seek His help. As Paul tells us in that verse 6. You see, prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. It changes us. It gives us confidence. It takes away our fears. Strengthens our faith. Makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the hymn writer put it so well, didn't he? Joseph Scriven, he said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything. Notice how Scriven put it. Everything to God in prayer. Joseph Scriven wrote those words from the land of Canada. He grew up in a town near where I grew up in Ireland. And when he was engaged to be married, his first wife, his fiancée, was tragically drowned just before he got married. And after waiting a number of years, God led him to another young lady, got engaged to be married to her. And again, just before he was due to get married to her, the second one, the same thing happened. She was cut off in illness and died before the wedding. And after losing two fiancés, he moved to Canada, emigrated to the North America, and he sat down one day and he wrote that hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And that great stanza, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Don't be like that. Use the weapon you have, prayer. Come to God and tell Him. Lay it before Him. He wants to hear. Wants to help. One last thing. One last verse. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. If you're fearful about 2018, I want you to memorize this verse. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 25. And this is a promise that God gave through Moses to the tribe of Asher. But it's a promise that's equally applicable to you and I. You found it, verse 25? Let's read it together. Deuteronomy 33, not 23. Deuteronomy 33, 25. Here's what it says. Let's read it. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Here's the promise. God says to His people, including us, the days ahead, the road may be hard. The road may at times be hot. But He says, I'll provide shoes of iron. What's the iron shoes? Shoes that can overcome the rocky road. What's the brass shoes? Why do you wear brass on your shoes? So that you don't feel the heat beneath you. You can walk on the hot coals, the fire. And God says to his people, you will walk through difficult paths. It'll times be hot. It'll be times be hard. But I'll provide the shoes to get through the tough days, the hard days, the problems. That doesn't mean you don't face them. It just means that he'll take care of you in them. And then he adds this promise, as thy days. Now notice he could have put it, as your day, each day. No, he doesn't. He says, as thy days, plural, all your days. So shall thy strength be. What does that verse promise? That verse promises that for every day in 2018, God will be there. That for every day in 2018, he'll provide the grace to get through it. If you need iron shoes, if it's hard to walk on, he'll give you the iron shoes. If it becomes hot and painful, he'll provide the brass shoes that the heat can't overcome you. And as your days, so shall your strength be. He'll provide the strength day by day. Now, he doesn't provide it in advance. As every day comes, he'll provide the grace for you and I to get through. You know, this time last year, I was just thinking this last night. We as a church stood away in a place called Red Hill. Some of you know where it is. We never imagined that 12 months later, we would be here in Lucky Plaza. I'll be honest, I don't even think I was ever in Lucky Plaza before. All the years I lived in Singapore, I don't think I ever was in this place. And here we are, 12 months later, in this beautiful facility, with all of these people, with all of these opportunities that God has given us. Were there obstacles to face in 2017? Yeah. Were there problems that had to be met? Yes. But what can we say at the end of 2017 as a church? We can raise up Ebenezer and say, what does Ebenezer mean? Hitherto has the Lord helped us. He's been faithful. I can say it for my family. I can say it as an individual. When I needed the brass shoes and the iron shoes, he provided, isn't that right? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And is that going to be true in 2018? Absolutely. Will you have hard days in 2018? Yes, you will. Will you have difficulties in 2018? Yes, you will. But fear not. God will take you through it. He will provide the iron and the brass shoes to get you through every step of the journey. You know, have you ever tried running in iron shoes? Do you see the Olympic athletes running in iron shoes? No. Why won't they run in iron shoes? They're too heavy. So what is the implication? Iron shoes, brass shoes. It means that you have to go step by step, isn't that right? And that's what the pilgrim life is. It's a step by step. God's grace is sufficient for today. But it'll only be provided when you need it tomorrow, not in advance. God doesn't send you 6 months grace in advance. No. Day by day, moment by moment, as you walk with him, he will be with me. You may say to me this morning, preacher, you don't know my problems. It's easy for you to talk up there. You don't know my situation. It's true. But God does. And God will be with you. It doesn't say in that verse, thy shoes shall be iron and brass provided by the preacher or the church. No, who's the one who'll provide them? God will. Who's the one that will provide the grace? God will. As thy days,
so
shall thy strength be. That's God's promise to you and to I. It's not, can you trust God in 2018? It's, will you trust God for 2018? That's the choice that you make and I make. You know, in a moment we're going to sing a hymn. A hymn that speaks of the guidance of God. It's written by a man called William Williams. Very odd name, isn't it? His father repeated his name twice. William Williams. William Williams was a Welshman. Lived in the little principality of Wales. That's the little country stuck on the end of England, or to the west of England. Country of about 3 to 4 million people. And William Williams was born in the 18th century. He wanted to be a doctor. He left home and he went to medical school. And he thought, this is going to be my future. But when he was at medical school, a famous preacher, Daniel Rowland, was preaching throughout Wales the gospel. And William Williams was wonderfully saved in that move of God, transformed, changed. All his sins were washed away. And God called him to be a preacher, and he gave up his medical studies. And he went round Wales, preaching the word of God. And he was offered by the Anglican church a beautiful parish with a beautiful parsonage and a beautiful church building. They said, you can have this, and you can be respectable. And he said, no, I believe God has called me to go around preaching in every town and village in the land of Wales. And he got on his horse. And for 43 years, just think of this, 43 years, he went from every town, village, home in Wales, singing and preaching the word of God. Many times he was stoned by angry mobs, beaten. Many times he had nowhere to sleep at night and he had to lie on the ground. Many times as he went out, the rain fell upon him on his horse. He was soaked. Or he was burned in the sun in the summer. Many times he didn't have much to eat. At the end of his life, after thinking about his journeys all around the land of Wales, how God had led him, how God had protected him, how God had provided. And as he looked for the next step of the journey of life, he sat down and wrote this wonderful hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand." And then the chorus, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. And that hymn has become so famous. It was sung at the wedding of Charles and Diana. It was sung just a few years ago at the wedding of Prince William and his wife Kate. It's really the unofficial anthem of the nation of Wales. But the sentiments of it are so true. God will guide you if you let him lead you in 2018. Give your life to him. Take your eyes off your circumstances and off yourself. Look up and say, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. My hope is in him. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this thy word. You have been faithful in 2017. You have taken care of us in 2017. We have not been faithful, but you have. We regret the failures of the past. We regret the lost opportunities. But now as we face 2018 in just less than 24 hours, we look to the new year with hope. Because we can rejoice in the Lord. We can be full of thankfulness for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do in all our lives in 2018. Thank thee for what you have done for us. And now we look with great confidence in a great God to this 2018. And we come rejoicing in the Lord who makes no mistakes. Bless each and every one. Guide us and direct us, we pray. Help us to make the choice to surrender our will to thy will, to put our hand in the hand of the great shepherd and say, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. Let him lead us where he will. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.